Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. Traveling around Galilee, Jesus encountered a man with thousands of demons living in him. Seminary professors will tell you that this is nonsense, and that the God-man was merely being superstitious to fit in with those around him. So who do you believe? A bunch of credentialed men or the Son of God? By all accounts, the demoniac was happy to have his mind restored. Yet faithless men would have you believe the supernatural event is not true. Was Jesus a liar? Is the story exaggerated? Or is the Bible true? That's up to you to decide. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to be talking about the demoniac today. Not so much about him, but about what God can do when people pray, and particularly here we had Jesus. So you got an outline, and if you're watching me and you have it, this outline is on the website. You can download it. And there's a little map there that simply tells you about where we had the different cities: Nazareth, Chorazin, Capernaum, Gennesaret, Magdala, Cana, some Bethsaida, and the Lake of Galilee. It helps me to see when we talk about where Jesus went here and there. It gives me a picture of where he was at. So that is nice. Before we get into the message here and pray, I'd like to remind everyone that is watching, you might be watching on YouTube later on and some of the other platforms, that we are a faith ministry. And we don't have any support from anyone else except people that are watching us. So if you are watching us, you like what you see and hear, but you never have given anything to the ministry, would you consider today to be a contributor so that we can continue and we can expand and also we can maintain what we do have? We appreciate that. So let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for the privilege of being able to preach about Jesus Christ and what he has done. And I want to thank you right now, Lord, for moving upon us, for your Holy Spirit to move upon me, move upon everyone watching or listening, so that, Father God, your word will penetrate into our soul and spirits, and we'll be able to change and to have a victorious life. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let me read to you from my outline here as we start out. So, Jesus and his group, they arrived on the eastern shore. We talked about last time about the lake and we had a storm and so on. And they came in the fishing boat, and you can just see them walking off and milling around. This is the land of the Gadarenes, and the lake is very... It's a very unique lake, the Lake of Galilee. It actually is 696 feet below sea level. So if a canal was dug from the Mediterranean down to the Sea of Galilee, the water would run down into the lake. At the same time, there are mountains or hills, or I would say mountains, they go up to 9,000 feet. It's a very steep terrain. So it's like the lake sits in a bowl, and you have a little bit land on the bottom, and then you got these steep hills. So the way the weather is there, and this still does it today, that you can be out to the lake, it's clear, there's nothing there, nice and sunny, and suddenly a wind comes, and in less than 4-5 minutes, it's a raging inferno, where we're getting waves up and so on. And the reason that is that the wind is coming down from the top and runs down on the side like through canyons, and then hit the water with a hard, with high speed. And so no one living there can say, are you going to have a storm today or not? You never know. A storm can come up any time. So it's very volatile. So now they come on the other side, and they were walking around, and now we have a demoniac. Matthew says there were two demon-possessed people that came, and Mark and Luke says there was only one, but it doesn't matter if it was one or two. It's simply they were, we had a person there that was demon-possessed. So in your outline, what I've done now is this, I'm using all three Gospels. So you have the scriptures right in your outline. So I'm just going to read that. And when he, Jesus, was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Mark says, and they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, a little different name there. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit. Luke says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. So, why did this man run up to Jesus? Every time there's a revival, we had that at the Azusa Street, we have it at other places, every demon-possessed person shows up. You have all the lunatics show up. When you have a general revival, the demon-possessed people show up. And the reason is, the area is saturated by the Holy Spirit, and the demons are agitated, stirred up, and they have to manifest. They are simply forced to manifest because of the power. So in this case, I'm going to go with Mark and Luke. We have one man. So they had tried to bind him with chains of iron. They tried with other things. And he was so strong that no one could control him. Have I seen some man like this? Yes, I have. And I will give you a short description of that. I'm not just preaching what I have read, but what I have experienced. This goes back to about 1975. I was in the city of Vara in Sweden. And they had a man there. He was about maybe 25, 30 years old. He's a drug addict. He was a big guy, about 6 feet something. And so I didn't know that he was in town, but he wanted to come down to the church. So there had been a ruckus. They took 6 Swedish policemen to wrestle him down, to get him handcuffed and take him in and put him in jail. The next day, they let him out, and he came down to the church. And I remember the pastor went up and simply, this pastor there was not that big, about my size. This guy was about this. So he just went up and simply said, no, you can't get in here, and he just jerked him down. And so then the guy contacted me and said, would you come to my apartment and talk to me? So I said, no, I'll never back down for anything. So I said, yes, I will. So I took with me my song leader, Overberg, another Swedish guy that we've been with for years. So the next day, we went over to his place. It was in the afternoon. And it was hot. I had short sleeves, shirt. And we got in there. And the guy said, well, have a seat. We sat down on the couch. And we did some small talk. And I was going to try to lead him to Christ. And then suddenly, he just went over, got a syringe, got it up, and said, you preacher, I want to stab you. I want to shoot you up right now. So we were sitting down on the couch. My partner, Overberg, he simply went to the floor and hid under the table. So he was not who would help. And so the guy was not charging against me. So physically, I couldn't stop him. But what I did was put my hand up. I said, in the name of Jesus. And the man just looked like this. He dropped his syringe. He said, would you guys like a cup of coffee? I said, we don't drink coffee, but we take some water. And then we had a discussion. So, you have power over demons. He came after Jesus now. So let's read from Mark 5 here. So the man had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, nor not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in peace. Neither could man, any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have a little different description of what happened. So, in Mark 5, 6, we read this. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He ran and fell down and worshipped him. Matthew says this. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time? And we read in Mark 5, 7, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. Luke said, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God Most High? The Son of God Most High, I beseech you, torment me not. So, picture this now. This man is not attracted. The demons are attracted. And they're coming up. And they're simply falling down, and they're worshiping. They give him respect to Jesus. So on page 3 in the outline, Jesus wanted to know the name of the demons, and the name they offered to the God-man indicated they were numerous. Legion. And the demons did not want to be sent to a spirit prison, and requested to be sent into a nearby herd of pigs. I've been casting out demons since 1969. I did the first one. It was a kind of pitiful one, but it worked. So I learned this, that I just at the beginning just cast the demons out. So they went someplace. I didn't know where they went. And I went to one meeting at one time, and I was just a visitor, and I noticed that once I start casting demons out, people begin to vomit around me, and the evangelist simply laughed and said, you sinner, that's what happened to you, you're a sinner, the demon's going to come to you, see, that's yours, and he just laughed at them, and I realized the people were demonized around me. So my wife and I, we had a discussion, we discussed it, and we said this. Well, Jesus died on the cross, rose, his body rose. He rose on the third day, his body was resurrected. his whole power in heaven and earth. And we are now post-crucifixion. We are after that. So, we should have the power to cast the demons wherever we want. I had one friend of mine, he liked to cast them to the north, to the South Pole. He said they don't like to go down there. So, as I prayed, I realized this. There's a prison. I don't know where it is at. I know we got hell, which is also the same as a, not as a lake of the fire, but we have, it's a place of torment. So, we have Tartarus. That's where certain fallen angels that had sex with women went. So, I went for years simply said, God, in the name of Jesus, put these pesky things into a person someplace. And you know what? They go someplace, but they never come back. And so when I come back home after deliverance, I know there's no demons following me. So today, after the cross, we can cast them into prison. We can command them. This is before the cross. Jesus had not paid for the sins yet. So in Matthew 8:30 here we read, and there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Mark says, and he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. About 6,000 to 7,000. And by the way, normally people are demon possessed. I don't make any difference between demon possessed and demon oppressed. It's just a degree how much the demons control. But I would say that every American living today on this planet is possessed by demons. Unless you have had them cast out. A whole bunch of people have the arrested development spirit that makes them act like children, even if they are 50 years old or 60 years old or whatever. So, they wanted to go into the swine. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Luke says, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entering into him. And they besought him, they were not commanded to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought they would not that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. What happened now was simply this. The demons did not plan to stay in the pigs. They simply wanted to go someplace where they can leave. Every pig got possessed by demons. It is estimated about 2,000 of them. So give me to page 4 on the outline. So Jesus said here in John 12:31, now is the judgment of the world, now shall the prince of the world be cast out. So Satan was still the prince of the world at that time. He hadn't been cast out. So the demon simply said this, please let us go into the swine. And because Jesus had not yet paid the price, he had not been resurrected, Satan was still the master on this earth, he allowed them to go into the swine. When the men in charge of the swine heard and saw the pig crazily ran off the cliff, to the depths of the water below, they became extremely afraid and fled to the nearby city. They had not been close enough to know what had taken place. All they knew was that the pigs suddenly committed suicide. So listen now. The demons went into the pigs. The demons now said, we ain't going to stay here. So we are allowed. So we're simply going to have the demons to commit suicide. We're going to have the swine commit suicide. So now the herd has probably just been going around and, you know, just eating. So they got stir crazy. Got on their feet, ran out over the cliff, and drowned themselves. What happened to the demons? They got out. And they are still on this earth. Those demons that were there in the swine are still on this earth, possessing someone on this earth. Read Matthew 8 now. And he said unto them, go. And when they come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And then they kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything of what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Mark says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Luke says, then went the devils out of the man and into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. When they had fed them, so done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. When people commit suicide, suicide is a demon. It's a type of demon called suicide. And suicide is on the rise. It's very high, for example, in South Korea, the highest in the world. So a person that is suicidal is suicidal not because of him, but because of the demons. No human being will, in his own power, commit suicide. If you're in your right mind, you're not going to do that. Because we have a built-in protection. We try to preserve our life. It's very strong in us. But evil spirits come in. And they might have been riding a person for some time, and they says, well, we want to leave now, we want to get out. So they had to kill the guy. So they begin to talk to him and saying, you know, that nothing is working out, there's no hope, everything is bad, bad. And they lead a person to suicide, either with a gun, or they jump in front of a train, or take pills, whatever they do, they kill themselves. Remember this, when a person dies of suicide, the demons get out of him. There might be 5,000, 6,000 of them. And they simply said, looking around now for somebody else that they can take a ride with. Remember this, firemen, ambulance drivers, policemen, prison guards, people working in mental hospitals are very demonized. These people have the highest suicide rate in America. They have the highest divorce rate in America. And the reason is that you send out an unsafe person. People die in the highway, die in the hospital. Doctors and nurses, the same thing. Undertakers. And the demons get out. And so, as a policeman many times goes to this accident, to that accident, or whatever it is, the demon simply jump him. He might not be a bad person. But you've got to understand, we are like a bus. And there are seats in us. And the demons like to ride the bus. They're not going to ask you for permission. They just show up. And suddenly you realize, where did that thought come from? Why do I do this? What's going on here? Well, you got company. They're trying to take the steering wheel from you. So now, there was a great financial loss. It was decidedly odd that the entire herd of pigs would die in such a manner, and the city leaders and townspeople were angry over the financial loss because it would take years to recover from that disaster. Page 5. And for Matthew, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when he saw him, they besought him that he should depart out of their coast. These were not Jewish people. These were Gentiles, unbelievers. Mark says, and when they fed the swine, and they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was or was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion sitting in clothes in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they said that they saw it, and they that saw it told him how it befell him who was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they begin to pray him to depart out of the coast. The simply said, we can see this guy, he's healed. We don't care. We lost our pigs. Jesus, get out of here. Luke says, they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. He had clothes on them, in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes around about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. This whole group of people, 2,000 years ago, unless they got saved later, are in hell. And you can imagine them sitting there in hell and say, you know, what in the world do we think? The Son of God, the Messiah, came, healed this demoniac, and we asked him to leave because of our money. Can you imagine these guys simply sitting there kicking themselves and saying, you know, how stupid we have been? They're sitting in hell for 2,000 years. And for the future, they have the lake of fire. What a tragedy. I've had people say, I don't want to hear about Jesus. Don't tell me about Jesus. I had one of my aunts, my mother's sister. She was so nice to us when we were small. She was, even when we were older, she helped me out with college money. And I remember witnessing to her the last time I saw her. And she simply said, shut up. I don't want to hear that. She used another word, but I say dirt. I don't want it. She rejected it. Her husband rejected it. They died in hell. Their son does not want anything to do with Jesus. To him, now, don't give him that. I don't need him. That is a tragedy. On page 5, we read this. The man that set free from the demons was thankful and happy to have his mind restored. He understood that Jesus was a God-man, even if he had no concept of the Jewish Messiah. He loved Jesus and wanted to stay by his side for the rest of his life. He followed Jesus and his disciples back to the shore. And Jesus told him to stay in his own land and testify what God had done for him. Flip the page to page 7. So that's 5. I'm going to go to 6. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. Luke said, now the man out of the home, the devils were departed, besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and show how great things God has done unto you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now, this was a great miracle. It was a great miracle for the man that was demon-possessed. Can you imagine this? If you are mentally ill, possessed by demons, and you're just destroying yourself, and suddenly you get healed, you're going to be on your hands and knees and just praising God. But the people in the area, they didn't like it. They couldn't care less about the man that was a demoniac. They thought about the money. Let me summarize this message now. And I don't know how much I can emphasize this. But let me just say it this way. I would never send a man or woman to a seminary today, or even to a Bible college. The people in charge are the Bible colleges, the seminaries, different denominations. The professors are demon possessed. I'm going to be serious and hardcore. These men have rejected the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have rejected his deity. Why has this happened? Because that's how they were taught. This goes back to about 1832, when the world government decided to take over the educational system, particularly the Christian or their religious educational system. I got to the seminary, and the first day we had an orientation. It was 100 men started with me. So I sat down, and the first professor got up and said, welcome, men, to this learning institution. Let me make one thing clear to you. This is not going to be a revival meeting. You are not going to have anything spiritually happen here. You are here to study. We are giving you nothing spiritual. You are here to study. And then we were told, not by one professor, but different professors, different classes. And they all believed the same thing. They said, you know, Jesus, he was not supernatural. Jesus was a man of his time. He was a child of his time. He was as superstitious as the people. There are no demons. When you read in the Bible, he cast out demons, that's a joke. That's what you teach. That's what I teach in every seminary, every Bible college. Unless there is some place where they simply honor the Bible and they have not been deluded. There might be a few places here and there, but not the normal ones. And then they simply say this. There's no baptism with Holy Spirit. That was just for the time, and that was just to show. The day of Pentecost was a show to get the church started. There were no miracles. Peter was not in person and set free by an angel. There are no angels. They told me this. The Red Sea that the Israelite Moses walked over only was 3 feet of water. That's what they could walk over. It was only 3 feet of water. One guy in the class stood up, simply said this, well, Professor, we got a miracle now. 3 million people drowned in 3 feet of water when Pharaoh's army came after them. Every miracle is debunked. Every supernatural thing is debunked. They say you lead people to Christ. You tell them this, there are no miracles, there's no power. You read the Bible, you do the best you can, and work. Use the means, music, different media effect, and so on. So basically, any pastor coming out from a seminary is a social engineer. I was taught how to take up the offerings. I was taught how to manipulate the people to give. Put guilt on them. The more guilty they are, the more they're going to give. I was shown how to do counseling. I was shown how to do marriages and all the different things. And you be smooth. And here's what they told us. Never tell the congregation what we have told you here. Let the congregation be superstitious. Let them believe the stupid stuff of the Bible. But you just lead them. Eventually, they will come to their senses and believe that they're supernatural. That's what we're up against. That's why the churches are so weak. Because they don't have good pastors. And the pastors themselves, you can't fault them. That's what they've been taught, and they bought into it. They bought it, and they propagated it. On page 6, we have Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Let that sink in now. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus does not change. What he did with Adam and Eve, what he did when he was here on earth, he will do the same thing today. And he will do it the next year and the next year and so on. Get into your skull right now that Jesus Christ does not change. Also get into your mind, your soul brain, that the Bible is the Word of God. It was written by men, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the true Word of God. Not every Bible you're going to have in English and King James, because the others have been doctored, have been changed. They've been deluded. In John 14:12 and 17, we read this. Verily, and he repeats it, verily I say unto you, that's Jesus speaking, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's dissect that verse. He that believes on me, that's me, that's you. If you're a born-again Christian, he's talking to you. The works that Jesus did, you will do and even on a greater scale. Why? Because he went to the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit. I spoke to you about the Hebrid revival in my NIP message today. That was supernatural. Things happen through prayer. Now, you're going to have to make up your mind. And it's simple as this. Do I really believe the Bible? Make up your mind. Do I really believe it? If you do, act upon it. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. For many years, I've asked Jesus to do things in his name. And he has. We saw it this week as we had the deliverance. This particular person had some severe demonic problems from time to time. And in the first consultation that we had with a couple, I simply told them, it's not a problem. I said, we can get the demons out. It's not a problem. How can I be so confident? Because I know Jesus. And I know that Jesus cast out demons. I know that Jesus told his disciples to cast out demons. And I know when I use the name of Jesus, demons have to obey. We didn't have any manifestation this week. Because the power of God was stronger. It was easier to cast the demons out. We spent about 4 days preparing the person, and we spent about 4.5 days, and we spent less than 1 hour to cast out the demons. Now, you just can't cast the demons out. You got to prepare people first. This demoniac, when Jesus met, he was the Son of God, and today we got to line people up. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Folks, what does he say? If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, you know, just come to me and ask. Now, you cannot ask him, okay, I want to go and rob a bank, so give me a couple of angels so they can bust open the safe. No. But anything that we want to do in his name, he said, I will do it. And then he qualified, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, you cannot live like hell, and then says, oh, we're going to cast our demons out here. It doesn't work. You got to live a holy life. Verse 16, I'm on page 7 now. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Wow. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he might abide with you forever. How long is forever? It is now. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Here's what I really want you to do today, and I try to stretch you every Sunday. I want to get you a little closer to Jesus every Sunday. You got to make up your mind now. Was Jesus a liar or did he tell the truth? According to seminary professors, college professors, Jesus was a liar. They know better. Can you imagine some idiot saying, you know, I got a degree, you know, I got a degree of divinity, and I know more than Jesus do. That's the height of stupidity. We are men, women, humans. We would never come to the level that Jesus was. So ask yourself this, do you really believe what Jesus said? If you do, act on it. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe that the King James Version in English, now you have other languages, and some of them are not that good, some of them are okay. This is actually, English is the best version in the whole world. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Do you believe that this is the Word of God? If you do, obey it. Don't say, I believe this from cover to cover, even the maps I believe. I heard Baptists say that. And yet there's a lot of things they don't believe. You either take it completely or you don't take it at all. If the answer is yes, then act upon it and apply its words and promises to your life. Act upon it. I pray for the sick. Cast out many demons. I pray for supernatural miracles. We see a lot of things. Sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer. But basically, we're walking in faith. This ministry is a faith ministry. Despite what the devil has done to us, trying to destroy us, trying to smear me, that I'm anti-Semitic, I hate Jews, and therefore I should be ostracized. I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate any people. Not even the facts. I don't hate them. I hate their sin. But I want them to be saved. So in closing today, and this is a short sermon, it's about 45 minutes, this sermon. I want you this afternoon to simply shut off your phone. Don't watch your television. Don't yap with somebody else. Go and sit in a room by yourself or go in a park or go someplace and sit in your car. And simply says, God, do I really believe Jesus? Do I really believe the Bible? And if you cannot say yes, why don't you have prayer and simply say, God, help my unbelief. Help me to believe what you said. Help me to believe the Bible. And God will touch you. Now, you've been watching and listening to me here today, and you are not saved. And you said, well, you know, this sounds good to me to be saved. I want to be saved. The good news is you can. All you have to do right now is to say, God, I'm a sinner, and you know you are. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Father God, forgive me my sins. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And Jesus will. When we finish here at the last prayer, the screen will change where you are. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, he will spend 10 minutes with you and make sure that you get saved. When you get saved today, would you contact us? I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to rejoice. I'd like to pray with you and bless you for your salvation. So contact us on our website, eaec.org. And we appreciate that. And to the rest of you, I already asked you what I want you to do today. Please examine yourself. At the same time, start praying more so we can see some great results. So, Terrence, you come in close.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we believe you. We believe the Word of God. That it is a lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even in the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joins the marrow, and is the discerner of the intents and the thoughts of the heart. Neither is any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are open and naked in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing hidden, Lord, that you do not know. Help us today to search our hearts. Search us and know our hearts, try us and know our thoughts. There will be no wicked way in us, and lead us into life everlasting. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory. Lord, thank you, Lord. Let the day be, let us not live the same as we came. We pray in the name of Jesus. Let it be something stir up our hearts today. We pray in the name of Jesus. And let us become more and more people of prayer. People that seek your word, O Lord. People that love to, O Lord, to have fellowship with you, Lord. God says, God is faithful by whom we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father. We want to see a revival, Lord, not just speak it, but see that it will take place. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that we all work together in prayer, seeking the Lord with all our heart, realizing we cannot do it without you, that we need your help, we need your guidance and your direction. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for making it happen, Lord. Thank you, Lord, the revival to come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for victory in this body of believers. Thank you for touching your people, Lord. And oh, thank you, Lord, for bringing conviction in people's hearts today, O Lord, that we want to see a change. We want to see people all around us be saved and your name be glorified. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And all God's children said, amen and amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person, After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 24th part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, The Demoniac. Jesus encountered a man with thousands of demons on the eastern side of Galilee. Seminary professors will tell you that this is nonsense and that the God-man was being superstitious. Yet this demon-possessed man lived outside the city and slept at the cemetery.
He wandered the mountains, refusing to wear any clothing, and used stones to cut his skin. The town leadership used law enforcement to shackle him, but the demoniac simply ripped off the restraints. He was uncontrollable and a terror to the people in the area. Who do you believe? A bunch of credentialed men or the Son of God? By all accounts, the demoniac was happy to have his mind restored. Yet faithless men would have you believe this supernatural event was not true. You have a choice. Jesus was either a liar or telling the truth. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, then act on it and apply its words and promises to your life. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1919. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.